going to ask Scott if you would, if you'll just stand right there where you are, if you would pray for me and pray for our message, pray for the service now through the Word of God.
Father God, it's such a privilege to be here this morning to hear your word. Lord, I just pray that each one of us here this morning would just not take that privilege for granted, that you would soften our hearts, that if we have any matter on our hearts this morning that's been undealt with, that we would deal with that now, Lord, that there would be nothing that stands in the way between us and the word that's being communicated through Pastor Conrad by the Holy Spirit. I just ask that you would just give him wisdom this morning, Lord. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would control his tongue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Lord. All right, Exodus 25. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the title this morning. It's called Called by Name. That's the title of our message. And so here would be the introductory question I'd have for you. Does God really have a plan and purpose for me in His work? Does God really have a plan and a purpose for me in His work? That's a question you may have asked yourself. You may have asked others. Does God have something for me to do in His work? And so we want to look at that this morning. Now, God called Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha and Peter and Paul, and He's called pastors, He's called elders, He's called evangelists, He's called missionaries for the past 2,000 years. And He's called ministry leaders and deacons and teachers and on and on and on. He's called people to serve Him. And let me just say, how amazing it must be. Because I'm a called man. Look, I'm called. I understand that. God's called me. He's placed me in a place. And when God called me into ministry, it was an incredible thing. When He called me to everything that He's called me to, it has been an incredible thing. It's an amazing thing when the Lord calls us and gives us a vision, a purpose for what it is He would have us to do. It's an amazing thing. But yet I still go, man, that must be amazing. When I hear these missionaries and I hear their stories, they're my heroes. When I hear those guys, I go, I got it easy. You know, pastoring a church is easy compared to what these missionaries are doing in other fields. I mean, they're putting their lives on the line, many of these missionaries are, but the things that they're giving up, the things they're sacrificing, and yet I don't think they see it that way. I shared with you before, I had a friend who was going, I just met him, but he was on his way to Argentina. We became friends later, but I asked him, we were having lunch just a couple weeks before they were departing for Argentina. I said, so how does it feel that since you're going to be leaving home to go to Argentina? He says, man, we don't feel that way. We don't feel like we're leaving home at all. We feel like we're going home. Like we've been in a foreign field here, and we now get to go home. We get to go where God has called us, where He wants us to be. Look, that's an amazing thing to be called by the Lord into His work. And I see different ministries and see everything and go, man, how that must be. How would that be? That's an amazing thing. So what we're going to look at this morning, to give just a real quick, the backstory here, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and he is there for 40 days and for 40 nights. That number 40, we see it a lot in Scripture. But he's up on the mountain, and he's talking with God. And you go, 40 days and 40 nights up there talking with God, that's a long time. But here's what happened. The Lord talks to Moses. And that's what we're going to focus on, was what the Lord had to say to Moses, all right? So the first thing we're going to look at, Exodus 25, the first point I want to look at here is that the Lord provides direction. The Lord provides direction. Chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, the first thing He does, the Lord tells Moses is that you're going to bring me an offering. Okay, you're going to bring me an offering. Exodus 25, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. So the vision is, Moses, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go and you're going to speak to the children of Israel, and you're going to tell them that they bring me. You're going to say, bring me an offering, me, the Lord, an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. This was not something the Lord was requiring. This is from a willing heart. If you're willing to give to this, then you're to give willingly with his heart. You shall make my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. And he lists those things, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Now, God tells Moses, the people are going to bring this offering. But here's what's interesting. He's telling Moses the people are going to provide for this vision that he's going to give Moses. The people are going to provide for it. But if we understand this right, God truly is the provider. Right, so they can only give back what God has given to them. We can only give back what God has given to us. I find it interesting when people want to argue. Look, you can argue about, you can get in that debate about whether we're to tithe in the New Testament or not. And there are people, it's amazing how people will fight to make that and go, oh, no, we're not supposed to do that. And I'm like, okay, all right, I don't know that I'm there, but people argue, and I go, I think it shows something about our heart. Maybe it's that we're not willing to give back. Maybe we don't want to give back something like it's ours. We can't view things like it's ours. Listen, I don't have anything that's mine. My very life is not mine. My life is a gift from God. Everything that I have, every penny in the bank, any possession that I have, the car I drove in this morning, it's not mine. God gave it. I'm a steward of it. It's His. He owned it. And the only reason I have use of it, the only reason I have any of these things is because He's given. And so I can give back to Him what is already His. And that's what He says. So it's interesting that God says the people are going to provide, but the Lord is the one providing. He's already provided it to them. And all He's asking them to do is willingly give back for the vision He's going to provide. And then He says to them, He says, build me a sanctuary. Verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now that's a pretty cool vision right there. You can imagine Moses as he's listening to this. He's going, all right, I'm going to go before the people. I'm going to present this. I'm going to say to them, we're going to bring an offering. Here's the things that you're going to offer. Here's the things you're going to give back to the Lord. Now, here's why you're going to give it. You're going to give it because we're going to build a sanctuary. Now, what is the sanctuary? It's where the Lord's going to dwell, that He may dwell among us. What an incredible thing that is. And then he tells Moses, and this is the part that verse 9, here's Moses, he's already telling him, he's already told him what you're going to go and do, but look at verse 9 now, he's telling Moses, you're going to be responsible for this, Moses, it's you who are going to be responsible. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it. So he tells Moses. So Moses, you're going to go to the people, you're going to tell them to bring an offering. It's a free will offering. They can bring what they want to bring. It's going to be from the heart. If they're not willing, I don't want it. So if they're not willing to give back what I've already given to them, that's on them. But what you're going to do then is you're going to receive these things, and then I'm going to give you instruction on building a sanctuary, building this place that I will dwell with you, okay? But Moses, here's the thing. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Moses must have felt pretty good at this point. God is calling me to build a sanctuary for Him to dwell with us. Can you imagine that calling? Can you imagine if God gave you that calling? I mean, He's asking you to lead this big project of a place where He's going to come dwell. I want you to build this building. You're going to build this new building, and I'm going to come dwell with you there. Wow, that's an incredible, incredible calling that He has right there, a purpose that He has for him. What a great feeling that must be, to be called, to have a calling to do something for Him. Amen? Wouldn't that be incredible? It's a great feeling when you are called to serve the Lord, to go for the Lord, to be a part of His work. Now, that's the first part, is the Lord provides direction. Now, the second thing is the Lord provides the details. Now, He's told him you're going to build a sanctuary, but now He's going to give him the details. Chapter 25, verse 10, through chapter 30, verse 38. Let's begin there in verse 10. It scared you, didn't I? Thought, man, is he really going to read six chapters in Exodus? No, we're not going to read six chapters. I've read the six chapters again and again. These are the parts right here, Jay, that you, when you get into some of these, you get into Leviticus, you get into some of the Numbers. Part of Numbers is really good. Part of Numbers is a lot of numbers, and you're like, your eyes begin to cry. Look, it's where you have to be committed to it, right? So you start reading through this. Here's what's interesting. In these six chapters, the Lord's going to fill in the details of what He wants Moses to build, what He's going to oversee in this sanctuary where the Lord is going to come and dwell. Now, I find this very interesting. Six chapters he gives about building the sanctuary and all of the utensils in the sanctuary. Six chapters, incredible detail. Build it this way, overlay this with gold. You're going to build this thick, this thing, these rings, these poles. He lays it out in incredible detail. He doesn't give any kind of detail like that when it comes to creation. He gives a very, and it's almost like, I think it's because the Lord puts priority on the things that, what's more important to him? Creation was nothing. I just said it and it was, it's just that easy. Now, he's giving them, because he's going to dwell among them. This is a big deal. This is him fellowshipping with his people. It's a big deal. And you see the things that are important to God here. So he fills in the details. So these are the things that he gives him instruction about the ark. Not the floating ark, the ark of the covenant. The ark of the law went into, the ark. We've seen it. The lost ark from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Y'all saw it. Indy found it. And the government has it some building somewhere now. So the ark, the table of showbread, okay? So the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, the curtains of linen, the curtains of goat's hair, the covering of ram's skins, the boards and sockets, the outside bars, the bar in the midst, the inner veil, the outer veil, the brazen altar, the oil for the light, the garments for the high priest, the ephod, the breastplate, the Urim and Thummim, the holy crown, the altar of incense. All of these things, God provides detail about how this is to be built, what it's to look like, all of that stuff. So it's incredible. And Moses, as he's talking with God, it's interesting. If you go back now and you read this, you read through these six chapters, here's what you're going to find. Now, I read it in the New King James. So in there, I did a quick search, 129 times in the New King James Bible, in these six chapters, the Lord says, "You shall." Now, it's one thing when the Lord calls Moses and says, "Moses, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Call the people together. You're going to cast the vision for I want. You're going to build me a sanctuary. You're going to receive these offerings, free will offerings from the people. And Moses, you're going to oversee it." Okay, Moses is like, "Yeah, great, wonderful." Now for six chapters, for 40 days, he's getting this instruction from the Lord. And he's writing all this stuff down. He's recording this. And he's going, "And you shall, and you shall, and you shall, and you shall." So imagine now, how do you think Moses might be feeling now? What's the word? That's the word. That is the word. Anybody ever felt overwhelmed? We get overwhelmed with something not nearly to that level, right? We don't, I'm not building a tabernacle for the Lord. I'm not building a sanctuary for the Lord to dwell with us. I'm not receiving 40 days of instruction on what to build and how to build it into the intricate detail. And I don't have the Lord going, "You shall, you shall, you shall, you shall." I can get overwhelmed with two things going on. All this Moses, that is the word. He has to be feeling overwhelmed at this point. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, it's the same way today. See, God sets the direction for the church. He said, for any ministry really, for His work, He sets the direction. He calls somebody to it. "Here's what you're going to do. Here's what I want you to go do." So He gives the vision. Look, in the church setting, He gives the vision to the church leadership, to the pastor and elders, to that leadership, whatever the leadership is for the church. If it's an elder council, if it's a pastor who's leading, whatever, the leadership of that church, God's going to speak to the leadership and give them the vision, the direction of the church. He's going to give them the "what do we do?" All right, that's what He's going to tell them. They're going to know then, what do we do? That's ours. That's our vision. To love God, love people, serve the world. That's what God has given us as a church. But then God fills in the details, right? So that's the big picture. That's the 30,000 feet. That's the overview. Everything we should look at through the lens of that right there if we're going to do it. Somebody comes up and says, hey, preacher, I think we ought to minister to three-legged dogs. I just think there's a need. There's some three-legged dog we ought to go minister. Let's run it through that. Does it qualify based on that? If it does, then by all means, let's do it. If it doesn't, you feel free. We're not going to do that, but you feel free to go minister to three-legged dogs if that's what you feel God's called you to do. So God fills in the details. He fills in the how do we do what we are to do, right? The how to. The vision, our vision, that vision doesn't change. Now, the how to may change. The how to's, those details may change. God's going to fill that in. And let me tell you, it's an overwhelming feeling. It's an overwhelming feeling. And look, when you're in leadership, can I just say this? Not everybody's going to like what you do. Anybody ever experienced that? I could show you the text that I've received. I can tell you about the phone calls I've received because this is wrong. You shouldn't do this. And those kind of things. And they're not all that way, but some are. But look, not everybody's going to be happy. But I can just tell you this, if we go back 8 years and we never change anything, what we have on like Wednesday night right now, we wouldn't have. Because we'd still be just doing our meal and having a short devotion over there. That's what we'd be doing. Because we wouldn't venture to do anything new. Right? So sometimes you got to try something. You got to be willing to try something. We bathe it in prayer and we look. But I'm going to tell you, when there's a change, it can be overwhelming. That's why I'm thankful for the leadership setup we have here. I have elders with me, the three elders. We work together in those things. And if I feel like the Lord's leading direction, we talk about it. We pray about it. And then we talk to other leaders. We talk to the ministry men, the leaders it impacts. We talk to some other folks. We pray through it. And at some point, you got to go, either we do or we don't. All right, let's do. Here's what I know. If it doesn't work, if Wednesday night doesn't work, guess what does work? What we're doing right now works. And if what we're going to try to do doesn't work, you know what we can do? We can back up and do what we're doing right now again. Amen? That's the great thing about this is there's nothing. It's not like it's cut in stone and you can't ever go back. We can go back. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. And I think you're going to be excited as we see what God does through this. We can't even foresee what 6 months from now is going to look like. The things that are going to change, what's going to be available to us because of the change we're making right now on Wednesday night. I can't even foresee it because God's going to reveal those things as we go. It's an overwhelming feeling being in leadership. It's an overwhelming feeling when God gives you a vision and you know this is what we're supposed to go do. And He's even telling you this is how you're going to do it. But hey, you're going to do it. You're responsible. You're going to answer and you're going, oh man, are you right? What? Lord? Really? I don't know how to do this stuff. You're right. You don't. So here's the good news. Chapter 31, and you can turn to chapter 31 now. Chapter 31, verse 1, here's what happens. The Lord provides support. The Lord provides support. Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, of the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. Think Moses might have went, wow. Okay? Because what he says is, he's called by name. Two men who God has prepared, who He's gifted, He's given them talents for, He's given them experience in how to do the things that Moses was going to have to do. And Moses is going, I don't know how to do that stuff. I don't work with gold. I don't carve wood. I don't do the stones. I don't do all this stuff. Are you kidding? Lord, really? You want me? I don't know how to do this stuff. Well, listen, Moses, look, I've called by name Bezalel. And verse 6, and I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all who are gifted artisans. So those who are gifted in all of the things of the work of this, making this sanctuary, all the people who had talent for that, God had put the wisdom in their hearts to do this. Well, when did He do that? God said, hey, you know what? I got this crazy idea. How about we build a sanctuary? How about you build me a sanctuary? You know what? Now I'm going to need somebody to do it. I'm going to start preparing these guys over here now to do that. No, God didn't do that. God put it in them. Look, when at their conception, I'll go back to there. God had put in them everything they needed in order to do that. And then God puts them in, gives them a desire to work with stones or whatever it is that they're doing, to be those artisans. He put all of that in their heart. And then he gave them opportunity to learn it, to develop it, to grow in that and experience. And so they are ready. Can you imagine Aholiab and Bezalel and these other artisans? They're probably at some point going, man, I love doing this. It would be really incredible if I could do this for the Lord. That would be so awesome if I could do this for the Lord. If I could use this gifting, if I could use this talent for the Lord. I've got this experience and I'd love to use this for the Lord. And so verse 7 then. Who are gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his son to minister as priest, and the anointing oil, the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you. Now listen what he says. They shall do. You see it? Put yourself in Moses' shoes. He's gone from, this is incredible, oh, this isn't so incredible, this is overwhelming, to again, this is incredible. God's called me. He's going to have me to kind of oversee this. He's given me the vision for this, but he's already provided all the materials for it. It's not like Moses got to come out of his pocket on this. God's provided everything that's needed. And now all the things that need to be done, he provided for the giving. Now all that needs to be done, what has God done? He's provided everyone that needs to be there to do the work, to do this work. And he says, they shall do it. They're going to do it. Moses going, wow, man, praise God. He's probably on his knees going, glory to God. This is incredible. This is how this works. All I've commanded you to do, Moses, all I am holding you responsible for, they're going to do it. They're going to do the work. Moses must have been so relieved. What a blessing and what a relief that would be. God had prepared Bezalel and Aholiab years before he would call them to this work. God gifted them. He put a passion in their hearts. They worked and prepared and learned, and they hoped that one day they may be able to serve the Lord with their gifts and talents and abilities and experience. Folks, it's the same way today. It's the same way today. God gives the direction. God fills in the details, and God calls by name those to come alongside and help fulfill that God-given vision. God has called by name men and women to come alongside our leadership here at First Baptist Geneva. Our deacons, Todd Brain and Dave Callen, Patrick Duncan, Dennis Dunn, Greg Lobel, Brent Ramsey, Chris Sheets, and for so many years, Fred Williams. Men who have come alongside the leadership of the church, the spiritual leadership. Then there's our staff, Pastor Aaron and Miss Jackie, who have come alongside to help to support the work here. And then there's the trustees. There's the teachers. There's ministry leaders like Scott and Trish and Sally and so many others. Tracy, thank you. Listen, my brain doesn't function well when I have to call something on the... Anybody else struggle with that? The brain just short circuits, all right? I can't remember my son-in-law's name. Sorry, Tracy. There's so many others that are involved in that way. Our finance team, those that work with the finance team and that finance committee, Claire Jackson and Kristen Duncan and the work they do there. Our mission team and the work they do, the extra time they spend. Our children's workers, our worship teams, those that are up here. Look, you may have a voice and you love to sing, and you're sitting in the pew out there, and you're not, well, we don't have pews anymore. You're sitting in a chair out there, and you're not using that gift that God's given you. And many times God said, you need to be up there singing. You can play the piano. You can play this instrument. You should be up there a part of that team. And then there's so many, many more. Even greeting at the door. Glenn's always out there handing out handouts or candy or whatever. He's out there greeting at the door. There's so many other ways. Our safety team. There's just so many different ways of serving and being a part of this. And listen, God has called, let me say this, hear this. God has called you. He's called you. And look, I'd say he's called you by name. And you may be thinking, as we're sitting here this morning, you're going, but Pastor Conrad, you know, God hasn't called me. I haven't felt the call. I don't have this call. Oh, my friend, let me tell you, God has called you. If, in fact, he has saved you. See, if he saved you, he's called you. He didn't save you just to take you to heaven. If that were the case, he'd have saved you and he'd just zipped you out. The rapture would happen as at the instant of salvation, if that's all there was. Boom, you're saved, you're done, I'll take you out of here. That's not what it's about. It's not about us sitting back now and just resting and, boy, I'm going to heaven so I can just live life and enjoy it. I'm good. I've got my eternal, you know, fire insurance policy. It's up to date. I'm good to go. I can just live life now. That's not what it's about. Folks, if you are saved, let me say this again. If you are saved, you are called. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. If he's called you, if he's saved you, he's called you. There is something for you to do. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. Amen. Every single one of you. If you're not saved, that is his plan and purpose for your life, is that you be saved. But if you are saved, he has a plan and a purpose for your life to use you in his work. And we'll talk a little more about that to come. Point four. Let's look at how this develops then. Chapter 35. Go to chapter 35. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them. So God told him what to do. Now Moses is doing it. These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Verse 4, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Verse 10, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if Moses is now calling them to do this, God had already put it in their heart. He had already put it in their heart. They were already looking for a place to get involved. They were looking for a place to connect. How can I use my gifting, my talents, my abilities? How can I use it? And now Moses calls them, and verse 11, the tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clamps, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillows, and its sockets, the ark and its poles with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table with its poles, all its utensils and the showbread, all the lamps, also the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamps, and the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the and the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles, all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, their sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court, and their cords, the garments of ministry for ministering to the in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his son to minister as priest. So Moses cast the vision to the children of Israel. We're going to take a freewill offering. We're going to build a tabernacle for the Lord to dwell among us. He tells them that. And then he lists all that needs to be brought for the work. And he talks about all the things that are going to have to be built, all the things that are going to have to be done. He does that. And then we get to verse 20. Verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Moses cast the vision. And he didn't say, all right, raise your hand if you're going to take part in this. He didn't do that. He put the vision out there. He cast the vision. He says what the Lord has said to do, and he lets them go home. He lets them depart. And all of the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And I believe here's what they did. I believe they went home, and I believe they prayed. I believe the men led their homes and said, honey, what do you think we ought to do? I'm praying about this. What do you think we should do? I've done that several times. Now, I lead in my home. I lead in my home, but I don't dictate in my home. And when we're making decisions like that, oftentimes what I'll do is I'll say, what are you feeling? What do you think? How are you feeling led on that? And we talk about it. And sometimes we've done this. We'll write down something. Like if we're talking about we want to give something, then you write down a number and I'll write down a number. Can I tell you, several times we've done that in the same number. We've written the same number. Wow, what a coincidence. That's amazing. No. Ain't no coinkadink. That's the Lord's work. That's the Lord's work. That's the Lord saying, this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show you. So there's no doubt. You're not going, I don't know. I don't know if that's what we're supposed to do or not. He confirmed it that way. So I believe they went home. I believe they prayed about it. I believe they looked around to see what they had that they could give. Man, he listed all these things. And Moses said, hey, we got some of that. We could give that. We could give that. You know what? We've got that jewel. We've got that stone. They need that stone. We've got one of those. You know, that was, you inherited that. Man, it's just sitting in a box back there. Why don't we give that to the work of the tabernacle? Man, it's for the Lord. We'll give it to Him. And so they looked at what they could give, and they prayed about, and they sought the Lord about what they should give and what they should do in the work. Exodus 35, verse 21 then. Then everyone came. Listen, this is what's cool. Listen to these words. Whose heart was stirred. Whose heart was stirred. And everyone whose spirit was willing. And anyone that wasn't willing, God didn't force that on them. He didn't make them do anything. But those, everyone came whose heart was stirred. Man, my heart was stirred to be a part of that. My heart, I've got a willing heart to be a part of that work. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, of all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought, look what they brought, earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins, brought them. They had it, they brought it. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. Now, you see what's interesting there is they God didn't ask, it was a free will offering again, right? They brought of what they had. You didn't have someone who's poor bringing a stone worth millions or hundreds of thousands or thousands. Or they didn't have to. They brought what they had. They brought what God had blessed them with. They were able to give back of that to the Lord. And the rulers, it said, the rulers, they brought the precious stones. Those are folks who had been blessed greater financially. They had the means to do those things. You know what? They gave proportionally. They may not have given any more. It may have been the same amount of giving, right? But if they've got more to give, they can give more. They may have given more than this person, but they can give proportionately more. Does that make sense? It's like the principle of tithing. 10% is 10%. Right, if you're going to stick to that, you're going to say, well, we should all should tithe. 10% is 10%. Well, I only made $100. Well, then give $10. Well, you know, that's fine, but now, you know, I made $10,000 this month. I can't afford to give 10%. Well, down here, this person's going, I can't afford to give 10% because I only made $100 this week. 10% is 10%. It's equal for everybody. And it was equal here, and they gave. They gave willingly from their heart. Everyone who had a willing heart, everyone whose heart was stirred, brought what they had and did what they could do for the work of the tabernacle. That's the key to that. They brought of what they had, and they did what they could do. It wasn't like they were asked to do something they had no experience or knowledge of. They did the things they knew how to do. How they each must have felt as they were used by the Lord for His great work. Now look over at chapter 36, verse 1. Chapter 36. And Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred, to come and do the work. Moses now calls them. He's laid out the vision. He's told what's going to happen. Now everybody's giving. They're bringing. They're collecting the material to do the work. Now Moses calls them by name. They're called to come and do this work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses saying, the people, listen, this is an incredible thing. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. You hear that? They're bringing, and what they need to bring, what needs to be brought for the work, they've already got everything. They're going, look, we've got everything we need. Stop. I mean, it's overflowing now. There's too much. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from giving. Oh, to have that problem. Amen? Now, I don't say that to be like, it's not a critical statement at all in our church. But I would say I do have a critical comment on that from the body of Christ as a whole. Because, you know, this is a giving church. I don't think in 8 years, my time here, and you others have been here longer than me, have seen this again and again and again. This is a giving church. When there's a need, and the need is mentioned, the need is taken care of. It's just met. It's just we have a very giving church. They had to be restrained from giving. That's incredible. Stop. Moses is going, stop. Tell them all to stop. Quit weaving all this stuff. Quit bringing. We've got everything we need. You got to stop. And they're like, no, we don't want to stop. This is awesome. The project is incredible. We want to be a part of this. They let us still bring what we have. And he's like, no, we don't need it. It's everything we need we have. Man, it'd be great if we had that. Years ago, I read that Larry Burkett, how many of you know the name Larry Burkett? So he had a thing called Crown Financial Ministries, which, Brent, was that bought out by, do you know who what that is now? Who bought that out? Or is it still Crown? They still have that? Okay. That's okay. So Burkett did that. He had that, and then Burkett died. But he also authored a book called Money Matters. So he was really the forerunner on all of this money, what the Bible has to say about money. He was really the forerunner years ago on this, long before Ramsey and these other guys. The other Ramsey. The other Ramsey's a kind of a jerk. This guy's nice over here, this Ramsey here. What's that? That's your rich cousin. Yeah, he's the one with the money. Yeah. So Burkett said this. He said that statistically, Christians only give about 3.5% of their income to the work of the Lord. 3.5%. Now, what that means is, he's saying that of all Christians and all money given, if you take all the money that's given, you divide it by the number of Christians there are, he's saying that number works out to like 3.5%. And so here's the thought on that. Think about all that's being done in the kingdom of God on 3.5%. What if every believer simply tithed? Not asking for 20% or 30% or 50% or a huge big bonus at the end of the year. What if every believer simply tithed? Can we even imagine what could be accomplished in the kingdom of God with those type of resources? When missionaries don't have to worry about raising support, they can just go do the work. When a church is, man, they're blowing the doors off and they need a building, but they don't have the money. What if the money was there to do the things that need to be done? Man, what could be accomplished? Just a thought. So again, how must these people have felt? How must they have felt as they're part of this, to be able to take part in God's work? Right? I mean, this is an incredible calling. This is an incredible vision God's giving to build this sanctuary where God is going to dwell. And they have the opportunity to do that, to be used of God in that. To go, man, can you imagine? So you had the purple cloth, and you know you go in and you can see it in the part of the sanctuary that you could go in. And you go, oh man, I think I gave that right there. I think that's what I was able to give to the work of the Lord right here. I think that was part of that. I was part of this right here. I was able to be a part of that. Can you imagine how that must have felt? To see the work completed and know that they had a part in such an incredible, incredible work. That must have been just incredible to be a part of. How it must have made them feel. Can I tell you this, that we have an even greater call than that today? That was a sanctuary. Now, no, don't, I'm not trying, please, I'm not trying to be any way blasphemous or anything. But this was something that was going to be temporary. A temporary sanctuary for the Lord to dwell. And that's a big, big deal. It's a big, big deal. But it was temporary. That sanctuary that was built doesn't exist today. There are pieces of that that may still exist. But that doesn't exist. See, God's given us a calling, and it's to share a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a lost and dying world. That's the calling He's given us today. And every single one of us, as a child of God, can be a part of that work, of that call, of that vision, of that mission that God gives. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore, that's for all of us. This is not to a select few. This is to all believers. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We're commanded to go and to make disciples. That is the call God has given to every one of us. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is not some second feeling. It's not this calling that this feeling that is exhibited with tongues. that the lies that are taught in that. Look, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. You've got as much of the Holy Spirit at your salvation as you'll ever have. Now, how much you submit to Him, that's being filled with the Spirit. Are you going to get yourself out of the way and allow Him to fill you up? Or is it going to be you in the big deal in there? I'm the big cheese here. Or are you going to get out of the way and let Him be where He's supposed to be on the throne of your heart and your life? He's in there. Holy Spirit's there. So the Holy Spirit has already come upon you. And He says, with that, you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We're to be a part of all of that. Wasn't this or this or this. It's not a buffet style. You know, I think I'll tick that one. No, we're to be a part of all of that. Next door. Across the county line, state line, national lines. We're to be a part of that. So God's given us the direction. God continues to fill in the details for the direction. Look, again, methods can vary, but the mission doesn't change. And He's not going to get to a point and go, all right, stop. There's a whole world of people out there that need Christ. We're not going to run out of things to do. And let me say this, God is calling you by name. To be a part of this work. To be a part of this work, right here, right now. To be a part of that work, out there, right now. God's calling you. So I have some questions for us this morning. What is your heart stirred to do? What is it stirred to do? What's God speaking to your heart about, saying, that's what you go? You feel that hand on your back? The Holy Spirit's pushing you? That you need, Lord, stop. What? Who's doing that? What's your heart stirred to do? What is your heart willing to do and give for the work of the Lord? What are you willing to do? What are you stirred to do? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up to see His mission accomplished? Are you willing to give up the comforts of Geneva and go to another country or another state or another church? Oh, God's called. They need a youth pastor there. They need a worship pastor there. But I like my church. I'm glad you like your church. But boy, if God's called you to go be a part of His work somewhere else, then by all means, go. Do what He would have you to do. What are you willing to give up? Where are you willing to go to accomplish the Lord's work? God's calling you by name. Do you have a willing heart? Will you give back to Him what He's already given to you? This morning, we'll have a time here, Jim, if you want to come. Miss Debbie, we're gonna have a song. It's time that you can respond to what you've heard this morning. Maybe you're like, Lord, I feel something. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it is. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning. Just talk to the Lord about what can I give? What can I do? What can be my place? Lord, what is it You want me to do? Look, the calling God's given us is very clear, to go and make disciples. There's a million ways to do that. Your calling may be very, very unique, but your calling is to go and make disciples. And it may be to do that through Monday Bible Club, or to teach in children's class in here on Sunday mornings, or to be a part of the Wednesday Bible study. Whatever it may be, find that place to do what it is God has called you to do. This morning, maybe you just want to come and talk to the Lord about this. Maybe you want to pray for somebody else. Maybe you want to pray for wisdom, for direction, for guidance, whatever it may be. But I encourage you, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, step out and move. Don't sit there and wait. Step out and move. There's something about movement with the body in response to what God is doing in our spirit. There's something about that. And I encourage you, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, to respond this morning and come to the altar. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for this message. 10 chapters, I think, there, Lord. 10 or 11 chapters. And we read that, and it's so easy to blow through that and go, wow, what a neat story. That's pretty cool. And yet there's so much in that that is applicable for us today, Lord. We see the same way. You work the same way. Our calling is different. The vision you've given us is different. And I think it is so much more important. I think it was so much more important to you than simply this sanctuary that was going to be a temporary thing. The calling you've given us, this will go until you come back and take us out of here. This is what you've given us. And may we, as your children, as your born-again children, may we be found busy in your work, fulfilling the vision you've given us to make disciples of all nations, of everywhere, people all around us. May we be busy in that work, Lord. May we be found doing that. Lord, I pray this morning if there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior. They've never truly been born again. They've never repented of their sin and turned to you by faith. God, if that's the case, I pray you'd speak to their heart, convict their heart this morning, and draw them. May they step out of the pew and just come down and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. We'll just walk them right through the gospel and let them deal with you. Father God, would you just work now in this time of this invitation, this response time. Have your will and way, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.